In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It's a joy to be back home today, having just returned yesterday from being with our Bishop, His Eminence Metropolitan Joseph, and all the other clergy of our diocese. It was very heartening in Portland to go and to hear about the glories and the struggles of other Orthodox priests in their communities, to give context to ours, and to really sit at the feet of our hierarch who in spite of his busyness has great love for us and awareness of us and a lot of love for us, and he glorifies God for the growth of the faith here in Utah, and we can talk more about that later today. But every gospel reading, you know, it's not willy-nilly how we choose the readings in the church. There's what's called the lectionary, and for the longest time it's been set in the Orthodox life how we pray. We don't pray willy-nilly. In the Old Testament, it wasn't just pray how you feel. No, God gave a very clear way. You know, the part of the Old Testament, where everyone stops reading, where it gets boring, right? In the book of Deuteronomy, and the book of all those kind of things, and this many cubits and this. But that's beautiful detail, because God didn't say, just wing it. God said, this is the way to worship me. People often think with the coming of Christ that somehow that's all fallen away, but the saints and the Holy Fathers show us that that's not true. In fact, St. Paul says all things in good order. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way the apostles prayed was not willy-nilly. There was liturgy. There was liturgics. There was beautiful prayers, right? The fulfillment of the Jewish tradition as we keep it today. If you look in the first centuries, we are the glorious inheritors of those great and holy men and women who kept the faith, the saints of the church. And so, in this beautiful rhythm of life, we're given these readings each week. Not why? To heal us. Not just pretty singing, and to make us leave here different. And to leave here encouraged. And by encouraged, not always happy. I had someone say, Father, I'm going to go to another church because your sermons don't make me feel happy. Right? It's kind of like going to the doctor and you're sick, and all you hear about is how great you are and how well you are. Well, you might like that because you're not thinking about your sickness, but you certainly don't leave any more healed. In fact, you could be lulled into a very dangerous place of greater sickness. And so part of the life of the church, of the bishops and priests, is to inspire, yes, but also to exhort, to scratch away that scab and reveal weakness and then rawness. And there's pain there sometimes, and it exposes our weakness. That's what Christ did. That's what the apostles do. That's what priests do. That's a big difference between the Orthodox Church and their places. We're not PC. We're not afraid, because we truly love you. Not this false worldly love. We love you and want you to be healed. The Lord asked so many times, do you want to be healed? And that involves humble pie and deep self-realization, looking at ourselves honestly in honest ways. So we should leave here, come here willing to be open, willing to be chastised, willing to be corrected, willing to say, show me. It's like in a marriage. You know, when you first get married, your spouse says, you know, I see this in you. And usually it's like this. How dare you? Why are you telling me this? Who are you to tell me? Right? And hopefully as your marriage progresses, you want to hear it. Because your spouse is a mirror and sees you in a way you can't see yourself. You want to say, how am I doing? Because you know they see you better, and you're humble enough to hear it and to grow. It's the same in the church, in every relationship. So we come in today, in this beautiful day, hot day outside, and we're given this reading. This providence of God, in this day, right now, in this church, sitting down, kids, all of us, and the gospel is read. And it's supposed to penetrate our hearts. And it's about paralysis. It's a very short reading. We know the story. It's crowded where the Lord is preaching. These beautiful friends, we'll talk more about that. These beautiful friends want their friend to be healed so badly. When they can't get in the door, they don't say, well, we'll stop. They will stop at nothing to have their friend be healed. And so they go up in the corner and they tear the roof off and they lower him down. It's a beautiful story of sacrificial love. More, not for themselves, for their friend. Willing to humiliate themselves, their friend. And of course, the Lord heals this paralytic. Seeing, it says in the, very powerfully, he saw their faith, not the faith of the man, the faith of the people carrying him. And because of their faith, he healed him. That's why praying for others matters. Living a holy life can save other people too. It's very powerful. But what's the main thrust? We are paralyzed. If we don't see ourselves in the gospel, we have to identify with the characters in the gospel and think, well, I'm not like that. I'm not paralyzed. I can walk, so this must be a nice story. No. The fathers say, how does this apply to me? Should always be the question. I'm a mess. You know how messed up we are? Very. I heard some confessions at the conference in Portland, Oregon. The people from all over the country were there. Some few from Salt Lake City. A few from all the parishes up there, California, many. 600-700 people. You know what I noticed? Same brokenness. Same sadness. Same yearning of the heart. Same depression. Really. It's a universal condition, regardless of where you live. When I was praying about it, I found something that was very powerful to me in reading the Holy Fathers and the saints. Most of us here are married. And if you're not married, there's two paths in the church. Holy marriage and then monasticism, which is when you are married to Christ, literally, and you give your whole life to Him. This is the highest path, beautiful path in the church. If you're not married, especially children, you should see this as a beautiful option. Don't listen to a person who says it's weird. It's not weird. What's weird is our fallen world. It's the most beautiful life. And if you feel called to that, you owe it to yourselves. All my kids know this. They can do whatever they want, get married or become monastics, but they all have to spend time in the monasteries because even if you don't become a monk or a nun, it'll make you a better spouse. It'll make you hardworking, sacrificial, loving, get up early, not lazy, love to pray. A good monk makes a good father. And a good nun can make a good mother, and vice versa. It's the same life. But for the majority of us, we live in this world. And we often read the lives of the saints or the elders, and say, oh, my life's so different. I'm doing laundry. I'm doing this. My life isn't spiritual. Everything is spiritual. The majority of Christians from the beginning to the end have been in community, like this, in cities, in the countryside, struggling with families. What do you do? For thousands of years, what do people do? They weren't yearning to find things to do. They were born. They worshiped God. They loved their family. They worked hard. They raised. They got married. They had children, and they died. And that was a really rich life. And now for us, those things are just kind of like, yeah, we got to do those things. But I'm trying to find the content of my life. What really makes me happy? No, that is happiness in those things. And so for us as Orthodox Christians, we're trying to simplify our lives and to find joy in a simple way of life. And everything is so complicated. And I would say, one of the biggest places of paralysis is in our marriages, in our relationships with our wives and with our husbands, which is that's the arena that God has given you to be saved. We don't get married to be happy, slappy, because it often is not happy, right? Hopefully it's not slappy, but it feels that way. It's up and it's down, right? It's not always just, you know, walks on the beach and banana split. I mean, hardly. There are those moments, but it's something much more enduring. And you realize for a marriage to make it, especially, it only has to be if it's sacrificial love of Christ. And if it's, I love them more than myself. And this person, especially when they irritate me and they call me out, they are a gift to help me be more ready for the kingdom of God. That's why I married my wife. I married her because I knew that she was a better person than me. And I knew that she would be a great mom. And I knew that she would force me when I didn't want to be closer to Christ, and that being married for her, whether it was for a year or 50 years, was going to better prepare me for the kingdom of God. I feel fortunate to have entered marriage in that way. I also really was attracted to her as well. But the other, that's attraction's easy, to be frank, brothers and sisters. The other is make marriage work. Right? And we're bad at it, to be honest, all of us. And I think sometimes we focus, oh, I'm doing my prayers, I'm doing this. Do your prayers, do your fasting, and then we neglect the person. It's like going to the monastery and neglecting the monastery, and neglecting your obedience, and neglecting the people around you. And so it wouldn't work. And it's the same in our marriages. So I just want to point out a couple things today, I think, that can help heal our paralysis, as our Lord healed this person. Most men are weak. Weak. You know, when you, and it's everywhere, by the way. I think in the old days, when I went to Serbia and Greece and Romania, maybe the men are more manly men, but American men used to be manly too. My grandfather is the most manly guy I know. He's an amazing person. He changed my life. I never tell a lie. Never stand for it in me. I mean, get up at 3 a.m. to go fishing. Every morning he's a fisherman. That's where I come from, a fisherman family. You know, give me the right slap when I needed it. He changed my life. That's gone. And it's not just gone in America, it's gone everywhere in my travels. We've all become boys. And our society says, don't be a man. And then it's mad when we're not. It's feminized us. Play nice. You know, the average person thinks, what's the goal of a man? Well, just to be a really nice guy and a good family man. No woman's attracted to that. They're not. They might say they are. They're not. Right? They want a man to be dashing and to be bold and to not be a wimp. And by the way, this doesn't mean chauvinism or fake, like, hey, obey me, woman, this kind of thing. That's nonsense and pride. And what's missing? We don't know our purpose. Well, we do. Are we? The world out there might struggle to find it. We have it right in our, it's built into the Orthodox Christian life. It's to be like Christ. To love others with in a radical way more than ourselves. And to dive to this world and to live into Christ and others. And in, how do we do that? There's the whole medicine. The whole way of living that life. We don't have to be depressed, guys. We know our purpose, but we forget it. And you, most of us weren't raised with it. Whether you were raised in the church or not. Many people were raised in, under communism and things like that. But how many of us had a thoroughly Orthodox upbringing? How blessed for our children now to be raised this way. And if you did, you were very blessed. But men are emasculated. Right? They don't know how to be bold. They don't know where they're going. And you know what your wife wants? She wants to go on a journey with you. She wants to go to paradise with you. There's a book I'm reading, some by a partisan author, but I combine that with the church fathers, and it's so powerful and helped me so much in my own marriage. And here's what they say. Every man wants these three things. One, a battle to fight. You know, why do my boys want to play with guns? And why do they want to play with swords and these kind of things? Why will they, you know, if you don't give them guns, they'll bite graham crackers and make their own, right? I mean, it's in them. But our society has tamed them. Like a lion in a cage. You know how pathetic it is when you go to the zoo, there's this big, huge lion, and you can't even get him to provoke a reaction. He just sits there and yawns at you, and you go, you were made to be great. And you were made to be the king. And you're in a cage. That's how I feel like many of us men are, often. And it's unacceptable, especially for Orthodox Christian, and it's miserable. And yes, okay, society has done it to us, right? It's saying, be more nice, play nice, and then why aren't you more of a man? Well, you taught us to be girls, right? Right? I now open the door for a woman, and she says, I can do it myself. Like I'm oppressing her. I'm trying to honor you. You see? So, okay, it's not all of our fault, but that's neither here nor there. This is the reality most of us guys are in. We don't feel an adventure. We don't see the Christian life as the most glorious adventure. We don't see hitting in the night before you go to bed, setting your alarm for 5:30 or 5:45 while your family's sleeping, and dragging your lazy tail out of bed to light your candles and read your prayers as an adventure. And it is one. And to be the first one awake is the man of your home. And when, by the way, if you're single, it's the same, pushing yourself, getting ready. Because your wife doesn't want you to figure it out now. She wants you to figure it out now if you don't. But if you're not married and you're going to be, figure it out now. Because a woman doesn't want a man who doesn't know where he's going. She wants someone who knows where he's going and how he's going to do it. And she wants to join that adventure. We all are depressed. We think, oh, my life isn't the way I expected it to be. I'm not anyone great. I'm not a hero. Why do guys love the movie Braveheart? Because they all wish they could have a battle. I remember sitting in the stadium seating. I think I grew up in like a small little hometown theater where the seats were all kind of the same. But you come to like Utah and it's like this huge stadium seating, right? I remember watching during this Braveheart, another movie, I can't remember what it was, but and you can see people's faces. Usually you're just staring at glue. I remember looking over at the people, and everyone had the same look on their face. I wish I was great. I wish I could be something. I wish I could be, especially the men watching them, saying, gosh. But they're thinking themselves too, but you know, when this movie's over, I'm going to go back to sitting and working on my laptop and just my ho-hum life. Too bad my life has passed me by. And that's so sad, it's a lie. Because the Christian life is beautiful and glorious and more powerful than that. And changing diapers and doing laundry and all these things and going to work and loving everyone is the greatest adventure. That's the adventure the saints were on. That's why they were excited to get up and pray. That's why the monks are excited to get up and pray. Excited to go to church because we all need a purpose. If we don't know where we're going, then no one's motivated. So the saints and people who have wisdom about what it means to be a man, every man needs a battle to fight. What do we battle? Our sin, our laziness, our lack of love. We attack it in the church. Our gluttony with fasting, our laziness with prayer, and loving our wives and our kids more than ourselves. Being a man, not in words, but in deeds and learning. And a true man is humble and he adjusts. Every man wants a battle to fight. In the world, people don't think there's a battle. Not everyone can be a warrior. In the church, we're all warriors. Newly enlisted warrior of Christ, what the Father has called John, the new catechumen today. And all of us are that. Every man wants a battle to fight. Every man wants an adventure to live. They think that my life is boring. We can't be a North Face commercial all the time, you know? We can't be like, you know, jumping into streams and like wearing hiking boots and being really manly all the time. It's not practical, right? But it's not like that. The adventure is every moment. When you're sick, it's an adventure. When your boss treats you like junk, it's an adventure to love that person. It makes life worth living because the goal is to get over yourself and to start loving other people in a radical way. That's what people want. They want someone, they want friends, men. They want friends and brothers and husbands and fathers who know where they're going. And they're joyful on the path to it. And every man wants a beauty to rescue. It's very important. For a monastic, you might say, what is that? They want the beauty of Christ at every moment. And they'll do nothing. He's their beloved. Christ is their beloved. And they stop it. They give everything to him. St. Paul says, a person who's not married gives all their focus to Christ. And the man who's married focuses more on his wife and his children. And this is the way for most of us to be saved. In every great literature, why do we read literature? Why do we watch stupid romance movies? Why? Because we want to have something to fight for. Not just to fight, but to fight for. Right? Every man will charge the castle, slay the giant, leap across things, maybe hit a home run. Do something because it's ingrained in a man who's married to want to sweep her off her feet. But not for many of us. Selfishness. Self-focus. How can she serve me? We've lost this because we weren't taught it, perhaps. But it's something that can truly be taught. Right? If you read the book of Nehemiah, which is in the Old Testament, there were a few souls in Jerusalem in the Old Testament and being surrounded. And what did God say? Nehemiah, the prophet, said, "Don't be afraid. Be men. Fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your home." But it's not just a battle. It's enough. It's not enough to be a hero. We have to be a hero to someone in particular whom God has given to us to be the hero of their life. This is possible in the Orthodox Church. This is people in the world dream of this, and we have the ability to be humble men and do it. And you know what? Women, who are also paralyzed by this world, they have something as well. Every woman wants an adventure to share it. You know it. You know, there's many men make this mistake of thinking that the woman is the adventure. Big mistake. She's not going to like you anymore. She doesn't want to be your idol. That's boring. You know, when you're kind of infatuated, it's a funny thing, right? You know, we all laugh about this, kind of like the more disinterested you act, the more interested they are. It's kind of true. Because it means they have a life. Guys, if you have a life in Christ and you love him, you want to go to paradise, and you have a job and you're hardworking in a rhythm and a routine, and you say, "I want you to go to paradise with me," and you sweep her up, let's go. She will be on your side forever. And she'll be happy and she'll be whole. There was a woman, she's interviewed, she says, "All I want is to be cherished, pursued, fought for. But I also want to be a part of the adventure." She doesn't want to be the adventure. She wants to be caught up in something greater, going to the kingdom of God together. Woman said, "I know myself. I'm a sinner. And I know I'm not the adventure. So when a husband tries to make me the point, I grow bored immediately. I know the story of my sinful self. Take me into the story of paradise that I don't know." It's beautiful. It's inspiring. And finally, every woman wants a beauty to unveil. Not a beauty to conjure or to be fakely, externally beautiful in the world and makeup. But no, that's not what I'm talking about. This kind of pressure that makes women not comfortable in their own skin. I'm not speaking of that. They just want a desire to just be beautiful and to be delighted in. God delights in us. And many husbands don't delight in their wives. Many men don't delight in their daughters. You know, little girls play dress up, you know, they often do. And they often come around their papa. And they spin and they twirl. They want your attention. Sasha wants my attention. And she should get it. As a beauty. As a beauty. Because it shows her that that's, and it's not weird. It's normal. And it's beautiful. And what is she saying in that? Do you see me? She's saying, are you captivated by what you see? God's captivated with us, the fathers say. Are we captivated with our wives and our daughters in this way? What happens to the heart of a woman? A man's heart gets killed and emasculated. A woman's heart dies too in this modern world. It tells her to be tough, right? You can be independent. You don't need anybody else. You can be efficient. Just don't even worry about it. Don't worry about a man to take care of you. It's, look around at like Christian women sometimes and it says, they're just tired, right? What's the purpose? Like a guy, just be a nice guy. Or to a gal, just be a faithful servant. You know why? Because no one's fighting for her. No one's fighting for her heart. And there's no grand adventure. The guy hasn't even led her on one. He doesn't even know where he's going. And that woman has to now doubt if she has any beauty to unveil at all in the first place. Let's be honest. If you're honest, I can see myself in this. And if you don't, you're proud. Or you're really lucky and rare. So what are we going to do about it? We don't. You know what? The guy who wrote this book was a Protestant, but he had some very powerful things. And I read the church fathers, it accorded perfectly. But they have to go to Barnes & Noble and find this book. We don't have to. We can live the life of the church. It's built into the church. Men, right? There's a battle to fight. Becoming Orthodox gives you that battle. Whether you're a computer programmer or a janitor or a priest, that's just what you do. But it's no less glorious than Braveheart being a battle. To be a man, to be a loving Christian man. A battle to fight, an adventure to live, right? Life every day is an adventure if you see it that way. I'm going to love to love this homeless man. I'm going to love to my boss and this person. I'm going to love to fix this junky car because it's like my life is a gift from God. It's an adventure and it's not boring or unimportant. I don't need video games to make me happy or to numb myself. Life is absolutely beautiful and stunning and a beauty to rescue. Most of us, maybe some of us in the monastery, that's Christ we serve solely. Most of us guys, it's our wives or that your future wife. Let's use the church to become ready to be holy husbands. Let's raise these boys in the church, if not monks, to be glorious husbands, sacrificial husbands. When you do it, guess what? You will have the most beautiful helpmate. Your wife wants to be swept up out of her feet. It involves getting flowers. Yes, guys, don't be dopes. Forgive me. You know, flowers all the time because she's important to you, right? Do what she wants to do and stop being so selfish. With your kids, put your phone down and do what they want you to do. Life is passing us by. And love Christ above all, men, and your wife, and sweep her up off her feet. Be romantic. Be loving. But that's worldly. Be the man that leads the family in prayers. Be the man that asks forgiveness first. Be the man that always wants to bring the family to church, who tithes, who loves, who sacrifices, who is quick to ask forgiveness. And make Christ your life, and your children want to join you in that adventure of being a Christian. And your wife will be whole, and she'll feel fulfilled, and she'll feel loved, and she'll become whole. This is the arena of our salvation, holy marriage for most of us. And it's a beautiful vehicle to paradise. In fact, a holy family. Bishop Maxim was at our home one time, the Serbian bishop, and he said, do you know many of the fathers say that he was sitting at our table with us on old calendar Christmas in our family in this big table, and he said, many of the fathers and Dostoevsky, this is an icon of the kingdom of heaven. When a family loves each other and is united and cares about one another in this way, it's becoming more and more rare, sadly. May it not be so with us. May we see cultivating our marriages, cultivating our Christian life to love the spiritual life. Not like, oh, I gotta pray, I gotta fast. That's like a soldier who's like, this is dumb, I don't want to do this, I don't even want to hold this gun. Stop being a big wimpo. Right? That's miserable. Take your gun, fight the enemy, and blast through. That's what you were made to be, a man. And go sweep her off her feet like Prince Charming. Oh, it's so simple. It is quite simple, actually. And it's much more beautiful than you think. So may God help us. Who is always with us, Christ who delights in us, who wants to always heal our paralysis. May we begin in that place we're in right now, in our holy families, May we become the men we need to be in Christ. And women, may God inspire the hearts of your husbands to take you to the adventure and bear with their weaknesses on the way, that God may lead us in holy marriage to paradise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.